Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Zone Time. I'm Julian. Tic Tac Tomar's here. Sam is here. Avery's here. This has never happened before in the history of the show where, as we're recording, a trade broke.
No. Julian.
Yes.
Julian, I'm so sorry to cut you off. You're underselling it. Never before on Zone Time have we caught a live fleecing. A live fleecing. Okay. Wow.
You can watch me tweet in real time that I am personally being punished for saying that Lou Lamoriello shouldn't have been GM of the year.
Oh, no. Okay, for context. By tomorrow when you all get this, or Tuesday, whatever, you will have already known that the Vancouver Canucks will have acquired Anthony Beauvillier, Atu Rati, and a protected 2023 first round draft pick in exchange for center Bo Horvat. Literally, just as we were just congregating in the room here, just chilling, the trade went through, and it's from their account, you know, it's verified and everything, it's legit. So instant analysis, instant reaction from everybody. Bo Horvat is a New York Islander. Lou Lamoriello, people thought Lou Lamoriello was sleeping at the wheel, and he gets Bo Horvat, who's arguably the biggest piece you can get ahead of the trade deadline.
Ominous, man. Lou murdered the trade deadline because we were hearing like that the Canucks want like legitimate like roster players because they don't want to like tank or whatever. So, and again, Bo Horvat has like what, like 27 goals this year?
He's balling this year.
Like
he was scoring at a pace faster than Pavel Bure's, which is a franchise record for the Canucks.
And all they got was Anthony Beauvillier, who again has 9 whole goals. 9. Atu Rati, who is, you know, what, you know, in that draft year, a lot of teams wanted him in the second round, myself included, for the Leafs, and a protected 2023 pick. And that's it. Lou ruined the trade deadline. Because any other team, like, who are the other, like, the top free agents? Timo Meier?
I mean, that's going to be a very interesting
thing. If I'm San Jose, I am pissed. Oh my god, the prices on deals just plummeted. But shout out to Lou, man. Like, they needed goal scoring, hey, they got their goal scorer because man, fleeced. The Canucks cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves. We just talked about this whole like press conference about how like this is all the things that they've done and things are going to improve. And the first main thing that they do is they get murdered in a trade. Imagine they trade Quinn Hughes right now. They'd be like a conditional 7th.
No.
Like, how could you undervalue your, and why now?
Surprised about the most. Why? We're January 30th recording this. Teams still have to, you know, up until March 2nd, they could maximize all the cap space they can maximize. Why did they feel they need to make this deal right now? So they are tanking.
They have to be. They have to be. But even if that is a tank move, that's a pretty bad tank move, man. Like, that should be like, you, like, man.
Like, what more do you think they could have gotten for Bo Horvat? 2 first-round picks?
Maybe like another top prospect, maybe like another like a B level prospect. I just like that you look at the trade and it's like that's not enough. That for the season, like not for like the player overall, for the season that he is having, that is not enough. Well, they fleece themselves hard.
The only thing I can think of, but for the reason why the price is what it is,
mm-hmm.
with Bo Horvat being a UFA and considering the quality of player that he is, the asking price can't be that high. But also, if the Islanders sign Bo Horvat, that's a pretty good deal for them.
Wow!
You get a number one center for your team, and I don't remember where the Islanders are in the playoffs picture.
They
can't be that far off, but
they're
like,
not that far.
But also, I mean, remember, these are the Islanders who are not that far off from a conference final appearance, and they only missed the playoffs last year because of a terrible start to their year.
And a lot of people have been saying it. That's a, if they get in,
that's a team that, is, that that's a, you that's do a team not that gets in like nope.
You don't want them in the first round, and they're not man. They're only 2 points out.
I want to add.
Avery, we gotta let you tap in. Go in.
I haven't heard
your voice yet.
When the trade came down, I want to add. Omar said, and I quote: "I just want some peace in the Eastern Conference." So can you imagine now, Bo Horvat in the Islanders past the Maple Leafs in a playoff series? Oh, the takes from Omar! I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait if Bo Horvat is the key call for Islanders series win over Toronto this spring.
Dude, that would be so funny.
Funny for who? Funny for who?
It'll be funny for us. Absolutely. Absolutely. This whole time we thought the Bruins would be the team that would be the Death Devil. But if the Islanders end up being that team, oh boy.
That's, man. I love that deal for the Islanders, man. Holy.
It's a great deal.
Yeah, like Sam said it perfectly. We've been ripping on Lou for giving up Taze for 2 seconds. And now you're 1-2 is Bo Horvat and Matthew Barzal. That's pretty freaking good, man. That is pretty good.
Oh, hey, we get to see Bo Horvat clean shaven now.
Oh, yeah.
Especially clean shaven.
Yeah, usually it's clean.
Hey, that clean? Man. I mean, I guess that's fair. So I guess you never really had to worry about that. But yeah, Bo Horvat is a member of the New York Islanders, and Anthony Beauvillier is a member of the Vancouver Canucks. And I don't think Anna Kendrick is part of this deal.
She should be.
I mean,
come on the broadcast, Anna Kendrick.
Yes, yes, yes. Let Anna Kendrick show up on the broadcast. Sam, I know you've been busy tweeting. Go. What are you saying? Oh, tic tac toe bar. What are you saying?
No. Sam. Go.
Yeah, Sam.
I got nothing.
You got to tweet about this. Go in. You got to get this up.
I got nothing else to say. You know what? I am impressed the Canucks acquired a first round draft pick. I didn't think they had it in them. And that's
wow. Oh man.
I think they're now closer to having the original 21 picks they had over the next 3 seasons. They were at 19, so now they're at 20. They just need one more to not be at a deficit for a team that's requires major surgery and is apparently rebuilding. They don't actually have a ton of draft picks. So
I should mention, when we originally planned the show today, the very first thing on my rundown was, how long can we go without mentioning the Canucks?
So the Canucks are zone time fans then.
Yeah, clearly. They saw what I was about to put down and they were just like, no, you have to talk about us.
Man, some of the replies to like the Vancouver Canucks tweet is hilarious. Sell the team.
What?
This is Elliot Friedman all over again.
Elliot Friedman says the first rounder from New York to Vancouver is a top 12 protected this year.
You know, I want
to be a lot closer to 12 by trading them Bo Horvat.
Yep.
Man. Yep. With the price being that low, I don't understand how you accept it to being protected, because they're close, but there's no guarantee that they get in. Like, they have to beat out Washington and Pittsburgh. And yes, they're older teams, but it's still Washington and Pittsburgh. So I don't understand if you're looking at talking to Lou and say, like, okay, we'll give you Beauvillier, this prospect in a first. And you say, okay, well, if that's all you're going to give me, then that first is not going to be protected. Like, I would love to see the universe where this trade happens March 3rd, 1:50 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, boy.
I doubt it's this low. I don't understand why they made this trade now and not March 3rd. I don't get it. I don't get it.
From our boy Dom at The Athletic, Islanders' playoff chances jumped from 14% to 19% after acquiring Bo Horvat.
I mean, hey, increase.
Go ahead.
I do want to add that the tweet has gone up announcing the trade. The trade was announced 10 minutes ago, and the tweet to announce the deal already has over 1,200 quote retweets and climbing.
Oh man. The Athletic has Atu Ratti rated as their top rated prospect.
I believe that.
So you have yeah. The Canucks have the Islanders top rated prospect, according to Scott Wheeler. Sam is not enthused. Sam does not care.
Wait, so if it's a top 12 pick, then what do they get instead?
That's a good question. I don't know what the condition, and I have not seen what the condition is right away. If I see it, we can get back to it. If there's nothing else we want to exhaust from this trade immediately, there is other stuff we do want to get to. That being said, we will kind of intermittently add stuff about this, Bo Horvat trade, which literally broke just as we were about to record today. This is
like no incredible again. Dobson. Like what? Like I don't what. Like I get that he's injured, but like he's a defenseman with 10. No, no. Yes, he's a. Okay. He has 10 goals as a defenseman. Why? And Sam has talked about how bad the blue line is. How man. The flipping Canucks just can't help themselves.
Pierre LeBrun says, first round pick from the Isles going to Vancouver is top 12 protected for this year's draft, and it slides to 2024. And then he writes, it's unprotected. Maybe meant to say if it's not there, but I think that's the condition. It'll just slide to next year.
It's not even, they don't even get a first round pick in the generational draft if it's a top 12 pick.
Exactly.
This
was the draft.
This is absurd.
This was the draft. First, second, Beauvillier, Ratty, K. Like, this is the 2023 is being hyped up to be the deepest draft since 2015.
Yeah, this is the year to have two first round picks.
This is the year to even have 2 seconds. You're getting star talent, like, projected. You know, of course, you know, assuming you don't mess them up, but like, man, call the police on Lou. That's a straight 911 FBI. That's the fleece of the flipping. That's not true. There've been worse, but man, is that bad? That's tough. That's Panarin for sod tough. Like that's man.
It's October. Do you wish Lou Lamoriello was still your GM?
No.
just kidding.
No, because I very much like William Nylander and Rasmus Sandin, and they definitely would not be here if Lou was still here, because Lou wouldn't stand for any of that like holdout stuff. He'd be like, oh, holding out? Nah, we'll send you to, I don't know, Buffalo or something. However, he did get rid of the Fanouf contract.
Okay, Pierre just adds some clarification to that tweet. This is really cool to do this in real time. if the pick is not in that top 12 or whatever the protection is, it slides to 2024, and the pick in 2024 is unprotected. Does that make sense to everybody?
Makes sense.
It seems like it does.
Not, so
the Islanders aren't going to be bad next year.
Supposed to be.
No.
But they definitely need to do something with this core. They definitely need to take it. Like, they've had their kicks at the can, and they need something to work. Like, this is a pretty ballsy move on the part of the Islanders. I like this for them. And I don't think they were – I mean, I can't think of too many rumors that put the Islanders in running for Bo Horvat. I've heard Colorado's name. I've heard people say it's not Winnipeg style to go after a Bo Horvat, but I wonder if that's something they considered. The Islanders? Cool. I like it.
I mean, they're okay. If they extend Horvat, like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. However, Barzell's extension does kick in next year. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So they're getting money tied up into the two top two centers.
Yep. Brock Nelson. You saw Josh Bailey for another year. JG Pajot still there. Casey Cizikas. Well, I don't know about that one. They can still have a couple of years. You have a good offseason. You re-sign Horvat, make another deal, sign, or you bank on like Wallstrom still being on the team or Dobson having health. Like, man,
I've been saying a lot.
Jeez.
You know what's funny now?
Avery, go ahead.
Bo Horvat has now thrown the All-Star game into whack because he's an All-Star. Who's he play for now?
Oh, wait a minute.
That's hilarious.
Oh, no. Does that make it worse?
That's why Lou made
okay. That's why Lou made that trade. Also, Canucks fans, circle Thursday, February 9th in your calendar. Canucks visit the island on that day.
Ooh, Hattie.
He gets himself a hat trick.
See, I'm seeing people say both teams got fleeced. How did the Islanders get fleeced? Am I looking at the same trade?
Because here's the thing. If the Islanders don't re-sign Bo Horvat, they gave up a first-round pick and a prospect and a roster player. But they also cleared salary with offloading Beauvillier. But also they lose out on a first round, depending on where that slides to, they could lose out on a first round pick. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't know if it'll get to that point where if it's protected. But I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I think the Islanders win this trade instantly. If I'm looking at it from an instant analysis point of view. Like, yeah, I don't know why people think the Islanders are getting fleeced. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay.
Avery, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Fire away.
Just real quick. What do you think Ken Holland would say about this trade?
Oh my god.
Would he give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Oh my god.
He would go first the guy in record book first. Then you'd reference a trade with the Wings with Wings from 1995. And then he would talk about toilet seats going up and down. It's like, I don't know what Ken Holland would do. I really don't know what this man would do, but Ken Holland might, although I've heard rumors that, you know, floating around the idea of Puljujärvi for Antti Duclair. So,
if I'm the Calgary Flames, I said this will be in one of the articles I'm dropping this week. It's not a full fledged thing on it. I think the Flames should get Antti Duclair. So if the Oilers get him, that I think that's a big loss on Brad Treliving. $3 million AAV this year and next. Played with Huberto when he had his career best year. Florida needs to offload salary. It shouldn't cost that much. What does Edmonton need another winger for? They need defensemen.
It's not going to cost much now, man.
Nope.
And any
if it gets to that point, we win. We, as people who love this trade stuff, we win. That should mean more trades. But also,
it's true.
But also, we live in a salary cap world. And if the rental, maybe some GMs still back off, but also if the prices are going to be that low, like, I'm down.
The era of the hard cap has limited us from seeing outrageous trades. I will keep advocating, as I really believe hockey would be better off with an NBA style salary cap, of a soft cap and luxury tax. But you know GMs don't want that. You know the league doesn't want that kind of spending. You know they want to keep salaries as low as possible. We all know that they don't want the playing as much money. And the NHLPA has zero teeth. The NHLPA has zero bite to actually this cap change whatsoever. We know there's no actual bite from the NHLPA.
Yes. There's so much more frustrations. Okay, let's get to other stuff. And here's what we'll do. If there's other, you know, interesting things that come off of this trade, like a funny reaction, don't be afraid to throw them into the chat. But, like, you know, we want to talk about the Rangers and how they handled their Pride Night. And also announced not long before we started, the Dallas Stars are doing their own in March. I wanted today to be the day where we talk about predictions we got wrong. I'm sure that'll be fun. And then the NHL All-Star Game. I wanted to discuss the NHL All-Star Game today and the format. The fact that the NHL tried so hard to ensure that one player from each team would be represented and the Seattle Kraken are not represented. Was Bo Horvat the only Canucks representative?
I think Elias Pettersson is going.
Okay.
The Kraken don't have anyone going to the All-Star Game?
Correct.
Everyone has someone...
The Kraken don't now.
The Kraken don't. Matty Beniers is not going. And instead of using someone from the Kraken to go, Chandler Stephenson from Vegas is going in his place.
So what's the point of the whole participation rule?
Thank you. You made this whole big thing. And like you can't even do... And then people... I put this tweet about this and people were saying, oh, well, you know... people already have travel arrangements that are doing other things, so they're not going. Do you realize that's not good for an all-star game? You know, something that you get people to vote for and hopefully maybe somehow incentivize as like a cool thing for players to do? Like,
so
is that not asked backwards for your all-star game? Like, the mid-season classic, your best players, and the response is like, well, the guys are already have their own trips and stuff. Like, fine, I get on the surface, that's one thing, but, like, it's an all-star game. Like, what? Like, is that not... Am I crazy?
So a team in Seattle who, in their second year, from being at the bottom of the barrel to, at this moment, being number one in their division, does not have an all-star at the All-Star Game.
How is Jared McCann not their sub?
I don't know.
Jordan Eberle, like
Martin Jones.
Jared McCann. Having, like,
an absolute resurgence. I didn't even think Martin Jones had this in him anymore.
Like,
Andre Burakovsky leaves the team in scoring.
This is wild.
What are we doing? Why is... I mean, what?
I mean, first of all, I know you said, like, it's ass backwards, but I think that's actually the league's motto, is everything is ass backwards. So, not surprising.
Where's the lie?
But then, like, fact. The whole thing about, like, oh, well, they have vacation plans. Like, that just tells you everything you... That's what we've said about the All-Star Game all along, is, like, maybe if you actually made this an event that had value and players wanted to go to, then they would do it. Like, everyone's like, well, the players don't take it seriously. That's because they're not given anything to take seriously. The whole format of this is a joke.
Like,
Ovechkin was taking yearly suspensions. If you miss the game and you're invited, you will be suspended. Ovechkin said, okay, cool. Like,
Alexander Ovechkin, say what you want about his politics, one of the greatest goal scorers we've ever seen, willingly did not want to go to the All-Star Game. Count how many times you've seen Sidney Crosby at an NHL All-Star Game.
But also, do you know how stupid it is to be like, I'm going to suspend them? Like, we're going to suspend the player if they don't show up. And it's like, okay, you're just...
Oh my God.
Taking them, you're just penalizing fans from seeing them during the regular season. Like,
seriously.
I know it's funny. You compare it to the NBA, where NBA players are pissed if they don't get to go to the All-Star Game. NBA players are mad they don't get to go in the All-Star Game. They love playing the All-Star Game. You love being a part of the festivities, because the All-Star Game in the NBA is an event you don't want to miss.
I have a question. I'm not an expert with contracts. like, I'm sure in the NBA or something like that, or other leagues, they incentivize in your contracts if you make it. And you get like a certain amount of money if you make it. Maybe you get a bonus. How much is it if you make it to the NHL All-Star game? If at all, if you get one. That has to be it, right? Like the bonus yeah. was not slap. It has to be it.
Don't they only have that for like ELCs though? I'm pretty sure if you make like the All-Star rookie team or something, like you'll get like some type of bonus. But like, I don't know if like regular player contracts like have that thrown in, but hey, they should.
Damn,
like,
no wonder they don't want to go to no damn All-Star game. What? I need to double check this for myself. I'll ask CJ or someone else to know than I would be. But like we need to like I'm sorry, but like every year with the NHL All-Star game, it has turned into a thing where we watch the event, we complain about the format, we watch the competition, we complain about the void of personality. Whoever's performing at the All-Star game, we're all like, well, why did they get this artist to perform? They suck, they're outdated, they don't care, whatever, blah,
except
blah,
that
blah.
One, except that one time Snoop Dogg dropped an F-bomb on live television. That was hilarious.
Snoop Dogg is pretty much cool all the time. But the point remains, like, I'm tired of the NHL All-Star game being this like punching bag when it should be like at least cool, like something cool should come from it that we should be able to talk about at least for a couple of days.
Bring back the player drafts.
Thank you.
Those are so fun, man. Those are amazing.
Like, oh, God. I mean, at least when the few times we got to see it, like it was a good idea, but like, I mean, I don't even think some of the people who are flying in as media are that excited to go there. It's in Florida. Well, Florida's Florida, but it's Florida. Like, I don't know. I mean, Florida is Florida.
I don't know. The league either won. I don't know. Actually, no, that's not true. This is not an option. We know what their stance are. They know that we think the All-Star game sucks. They know. But for the home city or for the host city, you know, it's great for the fans and yada yada, and puts eyes on it, whatever. That's all they care about. All they care about is just showing all the teams and showing all the players. All the players.
They're not even showing all the teams if Seattle's not going to be there.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's the league knows what they care about and what they don't care about, and they don't care about what us watching at home think about the All-Star game. They don't. Because if they did, it would have changed a long time. We've been complaining about the All-Star game. We've been complaining about the playoff format, officiating, justified. That's a conversation we need to have on Zone Time at some point. Justified. Yes. Like they don't care. They do not care. And once they do, and when I say they, once the owners care, then they'll change it. But until then, they don't care. They don't.
Okay, Omar, guess who celebrates their 30th anniversary this week. Take a wild guess.
Is it Gary?
Gary Bettman was named NHL commissioner 30 years ago this week.
Boo. Boo. 10 years for every freaking lockout. Boo.
Yeah. Math.
10 times 3.
That's quick. That's quick maths. We didn't even get to the fact that a bunch of players have been snubbed from the All-Star game this year in particular, as they tried to represent everybody. No Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who I'm pretty sure is still the second highest scoring Canadian in the NHL as of right now, unless I'm wrong, Avery.
No, he is.
Big Willie style Nylander, not an NHL All-Star for whatever reason.
Really absurd. Like, as a non-Leafs fan, it's absurd.
Willie Nylander should be there. I don't know what we need to do to get him there. We need to get him a plane, just get him a ticket, let him hang out with the boys.
And like somebody who would actually put on a good show, has the like kind of outgoing, quirky personality and would make it fun. Yep. That is exactly who should be going to the All-Star game.
It is cornrows.
No.
Winning at cornrows?
Can we look at this here? Like Willie Nylander, cornrows. Why did he do this to himself?
It was a picture that went out over the offseason. I was like, oh boy. I think
like Jody High Roller. Awful. He looks like
Jody High Roller.
He looks like Riff Raff. He also looks like Ron Swanson that one episode where he gave himself cornrows. Damn, am I the only person who watches Parks and Rec here? Damn. Anyway,
Wait, what? Apparently,
what
to the quick back to the Horvath thing.
Okay.
So the theory is that, that's actually kind of smart. If the Islander, the Islanders aren't in a playoff spot at all,
right,
he could flip Horvath again.
Oh,
and maybe that's how you get him to Boston, or the New Jersey, I don't know. I don't know what.
So funny is that if the Islanders do that and they get a better return,
yeah,
and they will. That's it, because he's going to wait. He's going to wait and do it on March 3rd, which he should have. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up quickly.
Oh my god.
Canucks,
my god, if they find a way, well, I mean, we're gonna have to keep an eye on this for the next month and a bit, but if the Islanders get a better return than the Canucks, no, Vancouver, no, they can't keep taking L's, they can't do it.
It's been 30 years.
No,
this is Sam. Like that. There was like a Kraken fan last week who was like, when the Kraken beat the Canucks for the first time, was like, yeah, like, I hope you guys enjoy this like hopelessness and defeat, because this is all you're gonna get for the next like decade with the Kraken. And I was like, dude, like, losing to the Kraken is not gonna do anything compared to everything else that has happened. Like, come on, read the room.
Jeez. Sam, would you like a hug?
No, I feel like this is actually really entertaining. I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I would like peak chaos. I do think it would actually legitimately be funny if Lou Lamoriello got a better return by flipping Horvath again. It's like flipping houses in Vancouver.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's true.
It would be bad, but also like, it would be kind of funny if like, that's what happened after how they treated Bruce Boudreaux.
Well, the karma would be awesome.
Karma would be hilarious. But also just the Vancouver Canucks, even on a day where we specifically planned, we would not talk about them. And I was planning on getting everyone to get their stopwatches out and be like, all right, time the exact point when we mention the Canucks. I had a whole thing planned.
I was going to say, I was gonna have peak karma would have been the Islanders win the cup this year, and Bo Horvath throws a cup over his head as the Stanley Cup champion after getting dealt out of Vancouver.
Oh, who feels worse? You know what's fun? Who would feel worse about the Islanders winning a Stanley Cup this year? Canucks fans or Leafs fans?
Oh. That's a great question.
I mean, you could make an argument for both franchises.
Leafs fans for sure. Canucks fans would be happy for Bo Horvath.
Okay. John Tavares. Betchy.
Yeah.
That's a series I don't want. You want to talk about, like, everyone's saying, like, the Leafs don't want Boston. I do not want any, like, a single millimeter of the Islanders in the playoffs, because if we lose that series, my god,
Islanders Twitter gonna come for you.
I think I would take you know, obviously, like, when the off season goes on, like, people, like, you know, media and stuff, like, you know, we kind of take our foot off the gas as far as Twitter goes, like, yeah. I would take like a legitimate like 4-month hiatus. Like, I'd be like Andrew Garfield at the end of the Amazing Spider-Man 2 after Gwen died, just pieced off as being Spider-Man. Like, that I would not return until October.
You'd deactivate his account.
I would change my handle to Tic Tac Nomar, and then my name would just be No More. And then October, I would come back. Like, I would. It would be a legitimate hiatus if we face the Islanders in the playoffs and lose.
Omar rebrand. He's got a shaved head. He's got a beard.
He's
gonna come back as a Habs fan.
After the Habs collapse, I did change my picture to I think I put like my my image over like a sad like SpongeBob face for like, the entire offseason. I didn't change it back. Like it would be a complete rebrand if we lost to the Islanders in the playoffs, like on the way. Like it would be bad. It'd be tough. Because my men should be murdered.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That'd be so bad.
I'd be scared because like I don't want a rebrand to affect Tic-Tac-Tobar on this show, because Tic-Tac-Tobar on a podcast is one of the greatest things you could ever experience.
Thanks, man. I try.
I want to ask a question, not to do the whole, you know, changing the lineup on the fly thing. Since the Rangers thing is a topic we want to discuss, is it okay? And I guess this goes for everyone listening to this too. Is it okay if we move predictions we got wrong to next week and we just kind of end off the show with the Rangers? Because I think we need a bit more time with predictions we got wrong. But I think a whole lot from me. But we need to talk about the Pride Night again. Unfortunately, we should be talking about it for the wrong reasons.
We're talking about Pride Night for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Because instead of focusing on the importance of it, we're just talking about teams. Oh, will they or won't they? Like it's
So for context, the New York Rangers supposedly advertised a Pride Night going on in the last week. But it seems
they sold tickets on that basis.
They did, and the players did not wear any jerseys or any pride tape or anything like that. It's a bit disappointing, but also very notable in light of how the Philadelphia Flyers handled everything with regards to Pride Night. I'm not going to act here and say, like, you know, is this a situation where players voluntarily opted out? But this is very, it's very fishy. Like, why would the organization go about this way when they were people who were led to believe that the players would be wearing Pride Night jerseys, or at least doing what is custom of a Pride Night. And now we are about a little over a month away from the Dallas Stars having their own Pride Night. They tweet about this again minutes before we started recording. And, well, because of the fact that it's become a story, it's now going to become a whole thing where it's like, well, what are the Dallas Stars going to do? Who's going to wear a Pride jersey? Who's going to wear Pride tape? It completely takes away from the focus of these nights, which is for an organization to acknowledge a disenfranchised community, to show support for those people. And, you know, it's just a jersey. And I get that some people say, well, it's pretty performative. And I was having a conversation on another podcast where the other point was made that, like, oh, well, maybe you should see who isn't wearing these jerseys so you can tell who the real ones are from the not so real ones. But also at the same time, like, you know, I don't want to see that headache for people. And I also just think it's not a big deal to put on a jersey. It's got like it's I don't think it's that big of a deal to just show a little bit of support for the LGBTQ plus community. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but some people feel it is. I don't know.
Yeah, and
I think it's just like a really artificial argument that people are now using, where they're like, well, if they wear the jersey, it's against their religious beliefs because X, Y, Z and blah, blah, blah. But like the point of wearing the Pride jersey and Pride nights really doesn't go that far. Like to the extent that it's performative, yes, we can say it's performative, whatever, but it's literally a base level, bare minimum of showing respect for people's existence, right? Like no one's saying you need to like take the extra step of being like, I fully support your lifestyle of everything you do, which frankly you should, it's none of your business, but right. Like it's, mm-hmm. And it doesn't impact you. But if you can't even just say, I can appreciate the historical context where this community has been disenfranchised, not just disenfranchised, but I would argue persecuted, and are continuously now having their rights stripped away. It's like a pretty scary time. Mm-hmm. You can't show the bare level of human decency to be like, I respect your existence. I respect your right to live and to being on this planet. I appreciate you as a fan. You are welcome in our community. That is literally all you're saying. Mm-hmm. And if you think your religion goes so far as to say that you cannot extend that to someone, I think you have probably missed the fundamental tenet of most religions.
Sam explained that way better than I ever could.
And the thing is, sorry, no, Avery, you go.
I was going to say, and this could be a slippery slope now, where if teams and players don't partake in this, what else are they not partaking? Will they decline to wear jerseys on our Black History Month or Asian heritage? Like, where's the line going to draw? Where players will, you know, oh, I don't wear a pride jersey. Okay, I'll opt to wearing other jerseys that honor other communities in our world, which is a very dangerous slope to go down.
I think the best way for, and maybe it's not the right way to go about it, but the way that we look at these nights and causes has to change ultimately. Instead of it being a whole thing where everyone does it and we focus on everybody, going through the gestures, we make it something like what the NFL has with My Cause, My Cleats, where, you know, maybe one or two players, they do something funny with their cleats and we focus on them for like a little couple of seconds and that's it. I don't know if that's the right way to go about it, but like, if we're going to go down a route where some people are like, well, you know what, maybe we shouldn't have everybody wearing jerseys so that way we could see the real allies from the not real allies, or for whatever reason, that's the best way I think to go about it. But like, just the idea that we have to start looking at these things and looking at warmups that intensely. I don't even look at warmups that intensely for regular games. I don't care to look at warmups to see I shouldn't have to care for who's wearing a certain type of jersey during warmup. Like, it should not be this way. But more importantly,
this entire situation has been the league's response.
Yeah.
Has been super harmful. Mm-hmm. They have taken the classic like fence sitting position of, well, everyone should be able to express their opinions without taking into regard, but maybe they did take into regard and decided they don't care, that creates the situation where it's like, you're now saying that people who are blatantly homophobic, transphobic, and want to take people's rights and ability to exist away should also be heard. It's such a bad position to take, and it makes it so clear how much Hockey Is For Everyone has been an absolute grift. Yep. Like, they don't stand for anything.
Nope. No. And I said before last week, every other pro sports in this continent, every other major league, from the NFL, NBA, MLB, MLS, have taken stands on these issues. And the NHL continues to refuse to take a stand and keep this energy of, we don't want to offend anybody. Sorry, you can't always be on the fence of trying to please every single person. You can't.
And I think that the thing, and we talked about this initially when the Flyers made their decision, is just and again, going back to what the league did or the lack of what they did in their message, is just, what message does it send? We talked about this, and Pride Nights doesn't like solve issues in humanity or whatever, but it lets people know that they are seen. Gives them the reassurance that they are seen, that they're valued. Players talk all the time. We love our fans. The fans had our back. They sing and stuff. But it's just like, being a fan of hockey doesn't look like one thing. And that's something that we've been trying to change. Look at this show. A lot of people watch this show and think that this is just performative. Well, some freaking stupid inclusivity crap. Because hockey fans don't look like us. Or aren't like us, have different lifestyles or whatever. And it's moments like teams participating in Pride Nights, the simple gesture of putting on a jersey, putting on pride tape, acknowledging a fan, saying thank you, you're welcome, whatever. Like, it's those little mini things that make such a significant difference. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people grasp, is that, yes, the smallest little thing can make such an impactful difference, or have such an impact on someone, because you never know. And I can't imagine being a Flyers fan, being a Rangers fan, looking forward to these things, looking forward to these yearly events, and now this crap happening. Julian, you said it perfectly. Instead of focusing on the importance of this, now it's just is the team going to do it? Oh, they said it. Are they actually going to do it? Who's wearing the jersey? Who's wearing the tape? We have missed the point. And that should be that should be the NHL slogan. Not hockey is for everyone. We have missed the point.
Omar, you reminded me of something, and it's that when people say like this isn't what fans look like, this show or LGBTQ plus fans. It's not what hockey fans look like. It's not what the sport is like. The entire point of sport and all the best sports stories have been that they bring together different people from different backgrounds with all different kinds of beliefs and come from walks of life. You can't walk around saying, oh, we've been in the trenches together. Being on a team means we're a band of brothers. Fans are like the seventh man in, or like whatever, like fans are part of the team. All this kind of stuff. You can't sell this idea of a team and basic respect for your teammates and sticking up for each other and then do something like this. It is antithetical to the entire purpose of sport.
Avery, do you have anything to add? I know we've all kind of said our piece. Do you have one last thing to add before? I think we're all just about up, because jeez. Avery?
I will just say the NHL has to determine where it wants to go going forward, because like I mentioned earlier, how they can't always fence it. You will chase away these fans who are from these different communities, who are marginalized. You will chase away these fans and they will go find something else to watch or something else to partake in if they do not feel welcome. The NHL is at a point right now where they cannot lose fans who are Black, who are Asian, who are from the LGBTQ plus community. They have to start getting new fans. You cannot keep catering to the same fans you had for the past 60, 70, 80 years, who, when you try and create new fans, at a certain point, when they say, we don't want these people around, we don't want these people in our game, you got to ignore them. You have to. Other leagues have said, we don't want you gatekeeping. Other leagues have taken an actual stand in saying, we want people to watch our sport. And NHL is afraid of saying these people are not welcome anymore. What? That is gutless. It's embarrassing. You need a little bit of courage to push hockey forward.
Yeah. Yep. Great time to be and I say this sarcastically, of course, great time to be a fan of a team in the U.S. Northeast between the Flyers, the Rangers, and the Boston Bruins. We haven't forgotten about you, Boston. That's what's kind of crazy about this, too. Like, those are some of the most prominent franchises in the National Hockey League. And Avery brings up a really good point. Considering where the NHL's placement is among the big four, or the MLS, for whatever reason, is just making these strides to try to come up and supplant them. Like, the NHL should not be putting itself in a position where it should be alienating any potential fans. And I keep thinking of the fact, too, in terms of potential fans or newer fans, like, how much have we spoken about the gesture that Scott Laughton and James Van Riemsdyk did before that Flyers debacle, in which they welcomed non-binary fans to that game? Like, that should be celebrated. Like, that should be seen as a very cool thing. A lot of people get to be like, oh, we don't focus on positive stuff. That should be a genuine cool thing that we should be giving. We should be giving stick taps and props to for NHL players who we recognize as people who are not supposed to be the most progressive people, going out of their way to welcome non-binary fans. Like, that's something we should be celebrating, but it is lost in all of this. And now on March 21st or whenever that game is going to take place with the Dallas Stars, I wonder how we're going to view that game. I wonder how people are going to tweet about that game, or maybe people might not think about it that much, but like, it's something we're just going to have to, people are just going to monitor, and we're going to see how it gets handled. But
it's also just going to be, it becomes a bigger storyline leading up to it, because there are players on that team, and people, I'm just not going to get into the discussion, but there are people on that team who have on their social media publicly endorsed anti-trans positions. Oh, and boy. It creates a much bigger, like, it's going to be an issue if this happens again. I just don't see how that doesn't happen.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting situation. And I'm sure, I mean, at this point, considering how this has gone, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if we end up talking about this in March. So I guess we'll have to put a pin on that one and mark that. But that's pretty much everything I wanted to go through today. I did say, yes, we were going to do predictions that we got wrong. We're going to make that more of a focus next week. What a wild episode this has turned into, in which it began with the Vancouver Canucks trading Bo Horvat to the New York Islanders.
Please.
Oh, wait. Yes. Before we end, tell me who you think is going to be the next Canucks captain.
They're not there.
I think they go no captain for a while. There's no way. Because if they name someone captain, like who?
If they name
Jason, are you comfortable giving Elias Pettersson the C?
That's who they should give it to. I think they may give it to Luke Shen.
No, not Luke Shen. Luke Shen's gonna get traded by the deadline.
Yeah,
there's no way.
JT Miller,
Daryl Sutter loves Luke Shen.
JT Miller is the longest signed.
Oh no.
And again, he has a no move. And you know, we all like that longevity when it comes to players wearing the C, right? I mean, it's either that or Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
regardless of who it is, I want to say, like, Bo Horvat was trained by the Sedins in the last years of their career. He has been an exceptional captain. He did, you know, like, I know the bar is on the floor or whatever. He's done as good of a job, I think, as you could expect from any hockey player in terms of the social justice issues. In the bubble, he was one of the people who organized the players walking out. He answers every question that reporters here ask him. And I think the Islanders are going to be very lucky to have someone like Bo Horvat.
That's a very nice salute to Bo Horvat. Omar, are you raising your hand in solidarity, or do you have a question?
Both. If Bo Horvat got that, what did they get for Brock Besser?
Nothing.
I don't think that stance has changed.
What if the Canucks just sell everybody?
I love this team. This
What does monstrous offer for Quinn Hughes mean?
You want to know what's happening? You guys haven't seen the other thing that's going around.
No.
The rumblings are now that Demko doesn't want to be here. I don't know if you saw. I don't know if you saw his mom's Twitter. She was liking all the comments about how they mistreated Bruce Boudreau, including like comments about the organization. And then that was last week, and so now this week one of the local reporters is saying he's heard from sources that Demko may not want to be here, so he may also be on the trade.
Hey, who wants a pretty decent goalie in Thatcher? I know he's not doing the greatest year, but Thatcher Demko available for trade if you need that. You need a goalie for a playoff run, could be available.
My goodness.
What?
They're boned. They are legitimately what will it take for the owner to say, you know what? Let's just be bad. Legitimately. On purpose. The goalie? Then you know it, man.
Spencer Martin's still there.
You can't BS your way out of goaltending, man. Teams have tried.
No, you can't. Well, yeah.
Like the NHL said, no soap operas, only hockey. That was a lie.
That was a damn lie. I think someone suggested in terms of a title for the Canucks soap opera, Along Griffith Way or something like that. Maybe that'll work. Just play just Griffith Way, and then just play a Coronation Street style flute or something. I don't know. Something has to work.
Honestly.
Oh, man. Okay. Next week, we will have predictions we got wrong. I'm sure the Canucks will do something for us to talk about. The All-Star game will have happened, so I'm sure there'll be something we could talk about from that. Whatever. Well, we're already anticipating it for it to suck. Oh man. Anyway, thank you to everyone who listened to the show. Thank you to everyone who subscribed to the podcast. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Avery. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Zone Time. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.